from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your sports radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM sports headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on Softy and Dick on a Monday night brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts? Didn't mommy and daddy show you enough attention when you were a child?
Lots of news from UW, by the way. First practice for spring ball is Wednesday. Linebacker Eddie Olafosio, who was hurt last year, is hurt again. He got banged up in winter workouts. Kalen DeBoer announcing he's going to be out for spring ball and will miss games during the regular season. Ryan Grubb, the new OC at UW, saying running backs Cam Davis and Richard Newton also will miss spring ball but should be back in the fall. And Jackson Kirkland is enrolled in school, has requested a waiver from the NCAA for a sixth year of eligibility.
Jackson had his clothes off for a while because Team USA got a hat trick from Christian Pulisic for a 5-1 win over Panama, all but securing the U.S. spot in the World Cup.
NCAA Final Four is set. Duke in North Carolina. Am I right in saying this is the first time they've met in the NCAA tournament?
That is correct.
That is crazy,
that
by
is
the way.
Nuts.
Every team in the Final Four, first time ever, has multiple championships on their resume. Kansas, Villanova first up, followed by Duke and Carolina. You'll hear both games Saturday, driving around town right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Here's a ratings grabber. HBO's Hard Knocks for 2022 will be...
Well, I know who it is, but
the
go
Detroit
ahead.
Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And biting kneecaps.
You fired up for that, by the way?
No. And the NFL has also announced the 2024 draft will be held in Detroit as well.
Let's see. NHL scoreboard. Couple of games underway. Carolina Capitals. Hurricanes up 2-0 early second period. Blues lead the Canucks 1-0 late first from St. Louis. Kraken are back at it tonight against the LA Kings. They lost in LA 4-2 Saturday. They'll re-rack it tonight. 7:30 faceoff. 7 o'clock pregame with Michael, Everett, and Dave coming up at 7 p.m.
Bills have announced a new 30-year deal for a new $1.4 billion football stadium in Orchard Park, New York.
Good for them. Got a bunch of public money out of it, by the way. I saw where Puckett was kind of complaining about. Is it Terry Pegula? Is that right? The owner is like worth like $5 billion. And it's like, well, if they're going to give it to me, I may as well take it, for crying out loud. So let's do this. We're going to talk to Chuck Powell at 5:30 from Peoria, Arizona. He's covering spring training with Bucky Jacobson all week long from the Mariners complex down there. We'll talk to him every day this week except for Friday at 5:30 from Arizona. But every Monday at 5:05 through the draft, and we may have to adjust this next week because of the NCAA championship game, by the way. Every Monday through the draft, we're going to be talking to, I think, the premier NFL draft expert out there. His name is Daniel Jeremiah.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. It's our weekly conversation about all things NFL draft with the NFL Network's top NFL draft analyst, Daniel Jeremiah. Brought to you by the expert in sports handicapping, Troy Wins. Want the inside information on the best games with the best information? Then Troy Wins at TroyWins.com is your guy. Now with Softy and Dick, here's Daniel Jeremiah.
All right, they say he's one of the premier guys out there. I think he's the best. I mean, there was a time and place a couple years ago where this guy was being courted by NFL football teams to go back and work for the National Football League. He said, why would I do that? I make more money and work less hours working for the NFL Network. And plus, I get to come on with guys like Softy and Dick Fain, my buddies in Seattle. So here he is every Monday, courtesy of TroyWins.com. He'll be on with Puckett as well throughout the week. Our friend, the king, baby, Daniel Jeremiah. How are you, pal?
What is going on, boys? How are we doing?
That was a hell of an intro, by the way, pal. Is that better than any other intro you get from other sports talk shows?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? There's nothing even close. The only way that it could be better is if next year we're doing it this time and you say all those flowery, nice draft analyst lies that you told, but then you also follow it up with, and the biggest fan of the reigning World Series champion, San Diego Padres. Then, boom, we're in business.
Well, your boy Tatis.
Can we have Ty France back?
Yeah, your boy Tatis busted his wrist. He's not playing now. That's a huge hit for you guys, huh?
Nah, he went evil Knievel, unfortunately, over the offseason. But, you know, we got good starting pitching, guys, yeah. So we're going to be fine. We'll be okay.
I'm hoping that we can talk some smack throughout the year with the Mariners and Padres going at it. But we deserve it a little bit more than you do. At least you've been there, for God's sakes. I know what it feels like.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Let's get your thoughts, because we haven't had you on in quite a while. We haven't even heard your thoughts, your take on what the Seahawks did. I mean, Bobby Wagner gone, Russell Wilson's in Denver. There's now officially nobody left on the team from the Super Bowl team of 2013. What do you make of the new era in Seattle, pal?
Well, it's new. You know, that's what you make of it. It's unknown. It's new. And I think with some of that comes some excitement. Obviously, you know, we had talked about it before where the challenge was going to be, you know, okay, you've gotten a little bit older. You don't have the resources in terms of the draft picks, you know, to try and, you know, replenish the cupboard. It was going to be a couple years, in my opinion, before they could have put a Super Bowl caliber roster around Russell. And now, you know, it's, hey, we're going to rip this Band-Aid off here. We're going to start fresh. And, you know, how quick can they build it back up? And, you know, as we kind of get in and talk draft stuff over these visits that I'm looking forward to, guys, I feel like this is, you know, they need over the next couple years to find, I'm talking about like four starters a year in these next couple drafts. And that's got to be the foundation for the next great Seahawks team. But that is it's a lot of pressure now on this personnel department with John Schneider to get these guys right here over the next 2 years.
Let's talk about the depth of those drafts. Look at 2022, look at 2023, and how do you compare those two drafts with the ones that you've covered over the last decade plus?
Well, I think, you know, when we look at this draft that we have, I think there's good depth in this draft class. I don't know if this top 10 would stack up historically with some of the top 10s we've seen over the last, you know, handful of years, just to kind of go back that far. But I do think there is a lot of, you know, second, third, fourth round value in this draft class. So that's how I would look at this one. I think next year's top 10, you know, from this far out, it looks like it could be a little bit sexier than the one we have this year. And then not just the quarterbacks. I mean, when you look at the edge rusher from Alabama, I mean, he looks like one of the best we've seen in a long time. He's an elite player. You've got a defensive tackle from Georgia that's an elite, elite player. So it looks like next year, you know, the top of it at least, and I obviously haven't done much work beyond the top guys,
yeah,
has a chance to be a little bit sexier up there at the top. This is a depth draft, though. This is a, you know, go get yourself four solid foundational starters, maybe not superstars, but good foundation pieces this year.
Would you give up anything of significance for Baker Mayfield?
I don't think you should have to because of the number, right? Because you got to eat that big number.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still think, look, if you ask me point blank, is Baker Mayfield better than Drew Lock? I think yes. I think you've established that. So if your goal is to put the best player possible on the field at that position, then you could make an argument for that. But I don't think you would have to give up very much. You know, I think what you're talking about, a third or a fourth round pick would be my guess. And I think some teams might even be playing chicken and say, you know what, they're going to cut him eventually, so let's just hold our water.
Daniel, what was your take on Drew Lock on draft day, and how has it changed?
I thought he was very toolsy. I thought he hadn't put it all together yet, but there was a lot to like in terms of, you know, his arm and athleticism. I thought he was really competitive. I got to know him a little bit through that process and really, really liked him as a dude. I mean, he's got a good energy about him, but just was a little bit careless and reckless with the football at Missouri. And I think some of that's carried over to his, you know, really kind of limited experience that he's had thus far, but getting to see him inside that division doing the Charger games, I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah.
And he's not a finished product yet, but I also think, I know one thing, if he doesn't succeed with Seattle, it won't be because they haven't, you know, pumped him full of confidence and given him a belief, because everybody, I mean, not just the public stuff, like, you know, the stuff that Pete and John have said publicly. But, like, I've talked to guys that are out at Pro Days and talking to these coaches from Seattle, and either they're, like, unbelievably awesome poker players from top to bottom of the organization, or they are really excited about Drew Lock. Because when I was asking about some of these quarterback Pro Days, and they were telling me, I was talking to some of these coaches that were there from Seattle, so they just kept talking about Drew Lock. So I think there is some genuine excitement, at least some intrigue, to see what they have there.
Well, I would also challenge you, DJ, to find a player that Pete Carroll was not excited about since he's been here for 10 years. Until he cuts him.
I was gonna say maybe the King brothers from the national championship loss to Texas. Maybe that would be about the only one.
God, yeah. Look at you. Wow, he's got jokes too, and draft analysis. Well, you know, I mean, he was glowing about Tavares Jackson, may he rest in peace, when he was here in 2011. Then he whacked him and signed Matt Flynn, and he went out and got Russell Wilson. So, I don't know, man. I just think that's the way he is, and, you know, that attitude honestly has served him well. I joke about it, but it's been a big part of the reason for his success. And we're going to talk some draft prospects in a second here with Daniel Jeremiah, with us every Monday, courtesy of TroyWins.com, through the draft, with Puckett as well, and Jim Moore on their show. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. Pete Carroll is going to be 71 years old in September. And the way that you talked about the challenge ahead of Pete Carroll, it sounds to me like you're a little skeptical that he can do this again.
Well, I just think that they're going to have a high batting average. They've got a lot of these picks. They have a lot of holes, including the biggest hole, you know, at the most important position. So I'm not saying, you can't win the poker hand here, but they're going to have to, you know, kind of hit an inside straight to get this thing turned around in the next 2 years. So, it's all possible. They've done it before. I mean, they had that the big draft that they had that kind of launched that era was what they hit on 4 or 5 big time dudes in one draft. It can be done. So that's going to be their challenge here over the next couple of years. They've got to crush it. But I know one thing, as somebody that's been in personnel, it's fun to go into these drafts when you've got a little extra ammo, because not only can you, you know, get players with those picks, you're very mobile, you know, and they like to move around, and they usually like to move backwards. But now that they find somebody they like, they can move forwards as well. So they'll have a lot of fun. They're going to have a lot of fun in the draft room, I can tell you that much.
Well, which is easier, building a championship caliber roster or finding the championship caliber quarterback?
I think it's easier to build the roster than it is to find the quarterback. You know, some of the quarterback is just, you got to have some, you got to have some luck that when you're picking up high, you've got dudes. And then you've also got to hope that, you know, if you're not picking up there, that you just get the perfect fit and you end up getting somebody that, is going to be even better than the version of the player you saw in college. And obviously they hit a home run with Russell doing that, continue to try and do that. I think you got to take some swings at it. So that's why I would, we talk about Mayfield, or do they take a quarterback with the 9th pick? They've shown in the past, hey, sign Matt Flynn, draft Russell Wilson. Maybe you get a couple at bats here and don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I could honestly, DJ at number 9, if they stay at 9, which I'm not certain they will stay at number 9, I could see him doing anything except for drafting a safety, a kicker, or a punter. Honestly, anything. I mean, best player available, right? Like, all of a sudden the dynamic has changed for them. We've talked a lot about quarterbacks for the obvious reason. Malik Willis at Liberty has this incredible pro day. I don't know how much they really buy all that stuff, but... Does Malik Willis, look like a reach to you at number 9?
Well, I just did my updated top 50, and that got posted today. So I have Malik Willis as my 26th player.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just based off of, you know, your grades. And obviously I'm not ranking my list, you know, because I need a quarterback. So those guys always get pushed up a little bit. Is it a little bit earlier than I probably would want to take him? Sure. But it's not crazy. That's not out of the realm of possibility. That's not taking, who was it that Buffalo took from Florida State in the teens? Name's going to escape me.
I don't remember.
It was the Geno Smith. It was the Geno Smith draft, and they took what's his name? He flamed out. Know who I'm talking about. So that's been. That's one where I'm like, he's not even in my top 50. Like, you can't take him in the first round, much less up there in the top 20 or in the top 10. I think that this is a different scenario. It would not be a tremendous reach if they decided to do that. Just got to be patient with him.
EJ Manuel, that's the guy you're talking about.
Thank you. Yeah. EJ Manuel.
Jackson Felt's producer credit for that one.
Well, talk about the quarterback tiers then. You've got a couple in your top 30, and how do you break down the tiers and how many quarterbacks are in each one of your tiers?
Yeah, I would start really kind of with the top tier for me is just two guys. It's Kenny Pickett and it's Malik Willis. It's Kenny Pickett because of what he is right now. He's ready to go. He's ready to start games, in my opinion, next year. nothing that totally, you know, wows you with in an elite way, but, you know, he's quick mind, quick release. He's got, he's a good decision maker. He can move around. He does everything, at a little bit above average level, and he's ready to play. So you're drafting Kenny Pickett for right now, and I think, you know, Malik Willis for the future. I think the upside is what puts him up there in that first tier with those top two guys of what, you know, you can dream on what he can be provided you're patient. But big-time athlete, can really drive the football, infectious, you know, personalities. Just he'll light up the room when he comes in there. And he knows when you talk to him, he'll tell you he's not ready right now, but you got to have some patience and you might have a payoff. So that's that top tier. Then you get to me, there's a little bit of a gap, and then I get down to like Matt Corral, who's a second-round pick to me. He's kind of in there, and then Sam Howell would be in that mix as well,
yeah,
as second-round type guys. And then Ritter is, you know, it's just outside my top 50, maybe my 52nd player right now. So there's a chance he gets in there before the draft. But I would probably put those three guys together in that next tier.
Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks on Twitter, NFL Network with us every week through the draft, courtesy of our friends at TroyWins.com. Need sports handicapping advice? Get in touch with Troy now at TroyWins.com. And looking at your top 50, the Seahawks have a definite need for a corner. And I guess if Sauce Gardner is there at number 9, judging by your rankings, you think they should take that to the bank and not think twice.
Yeah, we think we have 10 minutes on the clock now in the in the first round, 10 minutes. I'd have that card turned in with 9.5 minutes left, I think. I would run it up there so fast.
Why?
Well, he reminds me a lot of Antonio Cromartie when he was coming out. It's hard to find guys that tall that are that long. You see tall, long, fast guys. You do not see tall, long, fast guys that are fluid and loose. In other words, they can match up with the smaller guys. They're not just going to be kind of a, bump and run, press and run guys. He can flip his hips and open up, and he's got outstanding ball skills, so he can take the football away. And I love kind of the way he's wired. He's got just kind of a, he's got a corner demeanor, corner attitude. This kid doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He is all football. And when you talk to the guys who worked him out, were training him for the combine, they said they had like 50 guys that were working out there. They give him a random off day, and they had to kick this kid out of the facility because he's all in. So everything I've heard about him combined with everything that I've seen of him on tape, I'm a big Sauce Gardner fan.
Well, Trent McDuffie is not tall or long, but he's the 8th highest prospect on the board with PFF. You have him just a little bit lower than that. How does he translate to the NFL?
Yeah, he's ready-made. To me, one of the cleaner players, and I say that knowing he doesn't really hit the height, length that you're looking for here, a little under 5'11", 193 pounds. But he's quick-footed. He's got incredible instincts. He's tough. He can play inside. He can play outside. I know some teams view him exclusively as a nickel, but I think he can hold his own on the outside. Didn't get challenged a whole lot, as you guys know, last year. Didn't see a lot of balls go his way. But everything he did was just real fluid and smooth and just real easy. He makes the game really kind of slow down and look easy.
Yeah.
And then from all the background that I've gathered on him, and I'm not telling you anything you guys don't know, this guy's like they say he's like a 10-year pro already. You know, he's going to walk right in and he's ready to go. So that to me is it's an easy one. You sleep well at night if you take Trent McDuffie in the first round.
What about Kyler Gordon? Is his stock slipping a little?
Yeah, I dropped him down. To me, I think he probably goes in the second round now. I think he's my 38th player. He ran at a 4.52, which is not horrible, but he sure as heck played faster than that. I was a little shocked he didn't run. I thought he would run in the 4.3s. Because a lot of people told me from up there that he was going to be faster than McDuffie, and I knew McDuffie could roll. So that was a little bit surprising. But he's somebody that got challenged more because people were trying to stay away from McDuffie and made some plays.
Yeah.
Had some wins, had some losses on those 50-50 balls, but I thought he was, again, real competitive, real tough. You see it in his effort against the run. I didn't think he was quite as polished as Trent, But, you know, to me, this is somebody that probably at the end of the day goes between like 25 and 35, late first round, early second round.
Right. Was a phenomenal special teams guy, too, at UW as well. I'm not sure how much that'll translate to the NFL, but he was great here in Seattle. Hey, real quick before you go, Daniel Jeremiah with us every Monday talking draft throughout the draft. We play a little game called You Can Only Have One. I give you two options, and you only can have one of them. So you got to pick one, a World Series championship for the Padres or the Chargers back in San Diego.
Oh, I'll go Padres.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to go Padres. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. All
so, right, I mean, it's baseball season. I'm got my hopes high and I'm ready to go. And, you know, I grew up in San Diego. I love San Diego. That is a beautiful stadium that the Chargers play in, that I'm fortunate enough to go there and call those games. So, I'm okay with it. I can have my cake and eat it too here.
Yeah, you and Money, right? You and Money Smith are doing the games together. Wow, geez.
Yeah, and Money, you know, contrary to public opinion, he does not call the games in a tank top, Sophie. Wow. I know you guys might think he does, but he actually wears sleeves in the booth.
I thought he called the games in the nude, by the way. I'm glad to hear he's at least wearing clothes. All right, DJ, great stuff, man.
His voice would be a little bit higher on that touchdown Chargers call.
We're going to have you on twice a week, once with us and once with Puckett and Jim Moore on their show. We'll talk in a week, and fired up to have you through the draft, pal. Appreciate this, man.
Thanks, DJ.
All right. You guys are the best. Take care. Bye.
See you, buddy. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. You can follow him at Move the Sticks on Twitter. Brought to you by TroyWins.com. Mm-hmm. Need sports handicapping advice? Get in touch with Troy now. Weekly packages starting at $25 a week and monthly packages at $100 a month. TroyWins.com. Speaking of wins, Chuck Powell wins every day he takes the air. At 6 a.m., and he won again this morning. We'll find out about what's going on at the Mariners Spring Training Complex. Chuck will join us next right here from Peoria on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
We're changing the way you listen. Switch the stream from 950 KJR to the 93.3 stream on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Obviously, when a trade like that happens, there's an adjustment that has to be made, and there's a comfort that takes some time to settle in. I think over the past couple of days, I started to get like a lot more comfortable, but it's been great. Everyone here has been very welcoming, so it's cool, and there's a great group of guys here, and I'm excited about that.
That is the voice of Mariners outfielder Jesse Winker, who was on with Chuck and Buck this morning on their show from Peoria, Arizona. Did you happen to catch, by the way, Jesse Winker and Rick Riz and Tom Murphy, I believe, and others this morning
very
with
good.
Chuck and Buck show?
Yeah. I am in kid to school.
There you go.
That's my 6:30 to 9:30 every day. So gotcha. I apologize, gotcha. Chuck.
Well, you almost you did miss maybe the best part of the show, and that's when Chuck and Buck recreated the Will Smith Chris Rock incident from last night.
Did Bucky hit him?
Bucky played the role of Will Smith, and Chuck played the role of Chris Rock.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me,
and it went exactly the way you thought it would go. By the way, on the air. How are you, man?
Hey guys.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
How's your lip?
How's your jaw?
Fat. Broken.
Oh, you know what? Now I'm definitely tuning in tomorrow morning to hear you do 4 hours of radio with a busted jaw. Well, you sound good down there, man. It's awesome that you're down there. I know how much you love this, and I could not think of a better person to send to Arizona than you and Bucky Jacobson. What's the vibe like, man? All of a sudden now, for the first time in a long time, there's reason for optimism. What's the vibe like down there?
It really is great, and, you know, you don't want to overdo it. Sell it. I mean, this is a team that I think did a considerable amount in the offseason. They didn't do as much as I hoped, and certainly a lot of other people hoped. I think we all kind of thought they could have done a little bit more. They carved out an opportunity to do more. So I'm not sitting here trying to oversell it, but the vibe is really, I mean, there was already the last couple times I've been down there, sort of this belief that we got something good going on. Well, you marry that with, now we have expectations going into this season to win, to be a playoff team. So you marry that belief in what they've got going on and this youth movement that these guys really know they've got something special here. And suddenly you're starting a season where you're damn straight that we're going for the playoffs. You're damn straight we're writing American League West champions on the board as motivation. So, yeah, there really is a special vibe. We had Manny Acta on today as well. Actually, we didn't air it. We taped it today. And he kind of echoed that. Like, there is just something truly special about this particular spring training camp.
Some people are more disappointed than I am at not spending more money in the off season, including the guy I sit next to. But
yeah,
I'm aware.
Where should that money have been spent? Because you mentioned you're a little more on softy side. They should have spent more. Who should they have brought in, and who could they have brought in that they didn't?
Well, I think that there was an aggressive move towards Story. I think that made a lot of sense. There was an aggressive move toward Chris Bryant, just some things that I've learned since being down here. That sort of made sense. They didn't want to overpay for those guys. Story has a shoulder. Chris Bryant, you know, they're not sure if he still is superstar caliber, and he really didn't want to play third base. He wanted to play a position with a little less wear and tear going forward. And so, when you're spending that kind of money on players, then those players, and they want to dictate the position that they play, and it doesn't really fit with your needs, Dick, you sort of understand, you know, why it wasn't spend or bust for the Mariners this offseason. But just from the standpoint of, they had an opportunity by clearing the decks to go a little bit further. I was expecting just a little bit more. I thought maybe the payroll was going to finish at about 110, and it finished at around 90.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. You don't win a pennant in March. So there's still time during the course of the year to build, figure out, you know, where you need to make additions. And so I'm disappointed that they didn't go a little further financially, but I'm certainly not angry like a lot of people are.
Well, I just don't think there's any reason for this franchise to have the 22nd highest payroll in baseball. End of story. So that's got to change at some point. But Chuck Powell is with us on the radio show. And I wonder, you know, man, Julio Rodriguez, before spring training started, I didn't think much of the odds of him making the opening day roster. Should that start to change?
I think he's your starting center fielder.
I mean, I do.
I think that's. I mean, he is the buzz. Everybody glows when they talk about him. He lost a lot of weight this off season, like chiseled down in order to get to the position where, you know, he could increase foot speed, and he was going to be able to have the opportunity to prove to everybody that, yeah, I got the speed to play center field. If that's the opening, I want to grab it. I want to take it. And he's done nothing to disappoint. So, there's still a chance that there's no reason to rush. I guess there's still that chance, but I think he's going to win the job. And to top it all off, the other buzz that's being created, Matt Brash and George Kirby. One of those two, I'm pretty sure, is going to be in the starting rotation. And they think a whole heck of a lot about both of those guys being major league ready. There's going to be some disappointment from one of the two that's not going to make the starting rotation. I think there's this belief that both of them are ready to be in the starting rotation. So, you know, for those that are waiting for the next wave of Mariner prospects to make it to the majors, that could happen from opening day, and I think that's something to be pumped about.
So is Julio just that much better than Kelenic? Because we were all worried about Kelenic being called up too soon, and there just doesn't seem to be the same type of fret as there was with Kelenic last year.
Well, I mean, you hesitate to throw out names, but it's sort of the business, right? We throw out comps. I mean, Juan Soto hit the ground running. I mean, he didn't need a ramp up. He was ready at, you know, 19 years old. Ronald Acuna was ready at 19 years old. I mean, we have seen guys. Wander Franco last year was ready at 19 years old. I mean, we're in an age where these guys are playing so much, and Julio has dominated Olympic play, and he's dominated, you know, winter ball play and fall league play. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him enough to be able to tell you this guy's Juan Soto or this guy's Ronald Acuna. But I do believe that, you know, when you're talking about number one prospect in the entire world of Major League Baseball, at least in the conversation, there's no reason to think that he's not close to those guys. And so I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think Rodriguez is your everyday center fielder. Kelenic's your everyday left fielder.
Yep.
And come hell or high water, they're going to swim this year, because I don't think you're going to mess around with sending them back to the minor leagues. This season is about winning, and they're going to expect them to perform. And yet, I get this sneaky suspicion they're both going to stick in that starting day lineup, and then they're going to remain in that everyday lineup for the foreseeable future.
Well, Chuck Powell's with us. Before you go, great job today. Lots of good stuff on the website, sportsradiokjr.com. Check out the podcast page there as well.
I'll listen on my way home,
there
Chuck. I'm sorry I missed you today.
Well, you can listen to Chuck getting smacked by Bucky.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
That was in the first hour, by the way, which is amazing. He was able to pull that off. But Jerry DePoto said to you and Bucky like 3 weeks ago, they need a mid to front line starter. And there's a couple of guys potentially. I mean, Montas and Manaea, you know, we'll see where that goes. But, you know, time's running out here. I mean, season starts next Thursday, for God's sakes. Doesn't mean they can't get a guy in May or June. But do we still believe that they still need a mid to front line starter for this team?
I think that they will eventually this season. You know, I think that they can be in a playoff race right now without doing it. I really think they want to see guys what Brash can do. And I really think that they're interested to see what Kirby could do. So now all of a sudden you're talking about six guys. Flexen, you know, there's a very good chance he's not the same pitcher that he was a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
His results belied the data, the analytical data. So there's a chance he might not be the same guy, but he certainly earned the opportunity to show that he can be that same guy again this year. And then your top three guys are inarguable, with Marco and Logan and with Robbie Ray. So, you know, I think that it is on the priority list. I just don't think for Jerry, for Scott, for the organization, that moment has to occur before opening day.
Yeah. Hey, man, great stuff. What's on the docket for tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.?
Well, it's very fluid. I will just say that you're going to hear during the course of our week pretty much everybody.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to get everybody on. So what we're going to specifically get to tomorrow, I mean, I've gotten, you know, Tom Murphy, I'm pretty sure is going to be on tomorrow. I'm pretty sure Jared Kelnick's going to be on tomorrow. I'm pretty sure that you're going to hear from Bone, Perry Hill. I think that he's going to be on with us tomorrow. I think we're going to have Dave Sims on tomorrow.
Good.
I mean, Ty France is going to be on the show this week. So I'll just tell you this. Our coverage, I mean, we had a hell of a Monday morning. We had five tremendous guests on, from Logan Gilbert to Pete Woodworth to Adam Frazier, you know, to Jesse Winker and Rick Riz. So we had a really good day today. If there's a Mariner guest worth putting on, we're going to get them on this week on Chuck the Buck.
I love it. And check out the podcast page again. The first five are free. After that, it's $6.50 a piece for every player that was on Chuck's show. So, hey, man, enjoy it. Have fun down there. And we'll talk tomorrow at 5:30. All right?
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Great to hear from you.
You bet. Chuck Powell with us. Hey, tomorrow on the radio show at 4 o'clock, we're going to make some history inside the pit of stupidity. We're going to explain that next on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio KJR 93.3 FM.
Now back to Kraken Game Day with Softy and Dick. Brought to you by Smartsheet. What's hybrid work? It's having the people, the resources, and the total freedom to manage everything your way, from wherever you are. And that's Smartsheet, the platform for dynamic work.
All right, we have a couple of updates to get here on the radio program. First of all, on a Monday night,
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
The update on if we lined up, if we put every single KJR personality into, like, imagine like a fair, right? And there's like a pie or a, you know, I don't know, like a baking contest or whatever. You have your booth. I have my booth. Yeah. Jackson has his booth. Ashley,
little
Chuck,
market
Puck. Yeah, we all have a little booth set up, and we're all sitting there. And you can get one ticket, and that ticket is good for entry to one line, and one line only, to smack one of the KJR personalities across the face.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
The way Will Smith did Chris Rock last night. So I asked for the top three, okay? Text in your top three, 206, Puckett number one, Ian number two, Fane number three. Let's see, this guy, 425, says he wants Chuck. 206 says Fane, and Fane. 206, Chuck, Softy, and Bucky. 425, Jim Moore, and then Jim Moore. 360 says Furness. 360 says Puckett, Fane, Furness. 360 says Furness, Dick, and Jim Moore. 360 again says Puckett, Dick, and Softy. So everyone's getting
pretty
involved.
Evenly
yeah.
distributed. In yeah. fact, not nearly as many of Softy as I thought we would have.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
How about that? People like you.
425 says Graz for leaving KJR, Gas for leaving KJR, and then Dick Fane. 918. I have no idea where that is. Softy or Hugh Millen. I would pick one of those two guys first to smack across the face. So you tell us at 49451. Then the other thing we threw out on Twitter, because, you know, it's a day that ends in Y, so we have to do a poll.
Update on the poll.
I asked people, Jackson, I want to get your thoughts on this as well.
Okay.
Will Pete Carroll ever return to the playoffs as the head coach of the Seahawks?
Oh.
1,600 votes in so far, about an hour and a half. 65% say yes, he'll be back. 35% say no, it's over, he will never return.
Oh, how would you vote? Slim margin, I'm going to say no.
Wow.
Just because I'm not sure. I can't trust that.
He hates Pete Carroll.
No,
you hate Pete.
You know what, Jackson? Listen.
Well, can't even explain myself.
You don't know dick.
All right, now that I can explain myself. I just don't trust that this organization, and it has nothing to do with Carroll and Schneider, has more to do with the fact that finding a really good quarterback is such a tough thing. And the Seahawks have been blessed for so long by having good to great to elite quarterbacks. And
I don't
we know
answer
that,
this question.
I don't think Drew Lock is any of those. But, you know, so we're kind of putting it in the hands of these guys to find that next guy.
Right, he says no.
And that's tough.
Right, he says no. He says it's never going to happen again. If he had to bet one, he wouldn't be surprised, but he would lean towards no.
Only 23 years, too.
So I think that's a little short-sighted. I think
yes!
I think we're just looking at 2022. Unless you're telling me Pete Carroll is really going to quit as head coach of the Seattle Seahawks in the next 4 years, which I do not believe it's even in his DNA.
Really?
What if he quits in months from now?
In months!
I think it's completely within reason in the next 4 years. He's 70 years old.
I don't think he quits in the next year or so, but I do think it's possible he won't last all 4 years.
Right.
He'll be 71
because of his own volition or
because he's just done. I mean, if things don't go well in the next couple of years for the draft, and this appears to be maybe a little bit of a longer rebuild, I could see him saying, you know what, I'm going to check out and go to my place in Maui, hang out with my grandkids.
Exactly.
That I could see. I mean, I could see both, right? I mean, it's a lame answer, but I could see him signing an extension and coaching until he's 80 years old. I can also see him maybe giving it a couple of years and trying to figure out what the hell's going on here. And
job doing your homework.
If things don't go well, then maybe he'll just slide over and let somebody else take over.
You don't need a great quarterback in the NFC right now to go to the playoffs.
Right now, today. What about next year or the year after that? Things could change. Look how fast they changed in the AFC.
They did.
My God.
No, understood. You need a good quarterback. You need what Pete Carroll called a point guard, a game manager, and you need to develop a good defense, which we are pretty confident that Pete Carroll knows how to do. And I just think you need to be the seventh best team in a 16-team division. You're not going to do that one of the next 4 years. I just think that mathematically, there's a more than 50-50 chance that you're in the top 7 of 16 in a conference that has two elite quarterbacks. One's 44 years old and the other one could retire like next week with
41
for all we know,
yards.
With Aaron Rodgers.
No, I get it. And again, that's how things look today. I mean, things may change overnight. Who knows about trades and draft picks and blah blah blah, but look, I would probably bet that it does happen. I don't think it's ridiculous to think it's not going to happen. I mean, you heard what DJ said with us at 5 o'clock. I think he's exactly right, and the way he presented it, it sounds a little daunting, right? Did he not his tone of voice kind of in some ways like, man, they got to find four starters a year in the next two drafts and be good players, not just guys that just take up a roster.
Now, did he say that to become a great team? Because 9-8 could make the playoffs.
Yes, I think he said to become a playoff team and kind of get back to, you know, being in contention.
Sure.
Or maybe something.
Because we're just talking
better.
About 7 yeah, seed, yeah, 9-8 yeah. is all we're talking about here.
Well, right.
In this poll.
But you're also talking 9 teams. I mean, if you could see them being one of the 7, could you see him being one of the 9? Now, I will say this, that Pete Carroll has never missed the playoffs 2 years in a row in Seattle.
Correct.
Is that right? If it happens now and he misses it 2 years in a row, is that going to be enough for him to walk away and say, I'm out of here? Mike Tomlin has done it twice now in Pittsburgh where he's missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, but never more than 2 years in a row. He always finds a way to bounce back. The difference between Mike Tomlin and Pete Carroll is Mike Tomlin's 50 years old. Mike Tomlin is literally a year and a half older than you are. It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
So he's not going anywhere. I mean, I'm not even sure if Mike Tomlin has grandkids, for crying out loud. I don't even know if the guy's married, for God's sake. So I do think the older you get, and if there's a guy out there who would, you know, dismiss it, it certainly is Pete. But the older you get, you know, at some point in time, you start to value other stuff. And I don't know how much Pete Carroll values time with his family and not devoting everything to football.
I mean, if we want to equate it to the Mariners, I kind of see this year as the Mariners in 2019, right, where they're just the beginning of the rebuild. And I see next year as maybe, you know, you can throw out the 2020 baseball season because that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I almost see next year potentially as the year that the Seahawks do what the Mariners did last year. And that's, okay, maybe they didn't make the playoffs, but they were damn close, and you knew absolutely they were in the right direction.
All right, let's get a break. What are we doing? Dave Tomlinson, the NHL Color Broadcaster of the Day.
Is I thought it was the month.
No, it's just the day. They do a different guy. I realize that is my mistake. It's not a big deal. They do it every day on the website. You better win it once a month at least, right?
That's right.
So Dave Tomlinson's going to join us on Hockey Night in Seattle. If we have time, I want to kind of follow up a bit on Chuck's comments about the Mariners. He thinks there's a big surprise coming in the lineup. We'll tell you about that next and get the DT before the Kraken Kings pregame at 7, face-off at 7:30, right here on your home for Kraken Hockey, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your Sports Radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a Monday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I feel sorry for you, Frosty.
All right, here's what we got. UW Spring Ball, some news today. First practice Wednesday. Linebacker Eddie Olafocio out for the spring, out for fall camp, and will miss regular season games after an injury in winter workouts. Jackson Kirkland, by the way, left tackle, has enrolled in school and has requested a waiver from the NCAA to play a 15th year on Montlake.
We got a triple-double in three quarters in the NBA.
Hey-ho!
Nikola Jokic, beginning of the fourth, has 17 points, 15 rebounds, and 11 assists. The Nuggets are leading the Hornets 98-88. In the fourth, Magic lead the Cavs 92-90. Also in the fourth, Hawks 119. Pacers 106, Clint Capella with 20 and 14 for Atlanta.
Kraken coming up tonight.
Suck the Kraken's tentacle.
You know, Petros is calling the game on the Bally Sports app, by the way, in L.A. He's
really?
Doing the game tonight, yeah.
Bally Sports app.
Somebody got sick, and the guy that was going to fill in's dead. The third guy is in jail. Fourth guy got divorced. Fifth guy got into a car wreck, so they went to Petros. He's on the call for the Kraken Kings game. So if you
I was a seventh alternate. Yeah. I'm glad he is available.
I mean, didn't John Daly, wasn't he like...
Yes,
what
PGA
was
Championship.
He? Yeah, you never know.
He's like the fifth alternate.
Could be the start of something great for him. The Kraken tonight, they lose Saturday 4-2 to the Kings. They'll re-rack it again tonight at 7:30, 7 p.m. pregame against the Kings with Mike Bunton, Everett Fitzhugh, and Dave Tomlinson. Scores in the NHL. Carolina blown out the Capitals 5-1 early third. Canucks losing on the road. That's always good to the St. Louis Blues. 2-0 late second. And Chicago up on Buffalo. 2-0 mid-first from Chicago.
Niner GM John Lynch says Jimmy G will not be released. He will either be a Niner or be traded.
Liar!
We'll see.
Liar!
It's a Kraken pregame right now.
This is Kraken Game Day. Brought to you by Smartsheet. What's hybrid work? It's having the people, the resources, and the total freedom to manage everything your way from wherever you are. And that's Smartsheet, the platform for dynamic work. Now with Kraken Game Day, here's Softy and Dick.
I mean, why would John Lynch admit that he's going to release Jimmy Garoppolo?
Correct.
Why would he do that?
He wouldn't.
It's like, you ever go play blackjack or poker or whatever, and you see the guy next to you pull his chips back? You know, I mean, if you're a GM and you have an offer on the table and John Lynch says, yeah, we're going to cut him in about a day and a half. Oh, I'm going to just go in. I'm going to pull that back. I'm going to go and pull that back.
Well, this is the
I'm
second.
Pull that offer back.
It's the second lie he's told in the last 3 days.
Oh, what was the first one?
He said on Friday he had an offer for 2 second-round draft picks for Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would be very surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo was on the Niners roster in September. You want him here?
No.
You want Jimmy G? No. Porn star Jimmy? No. Jimmy Garoppolo?
What's the cost?
Nothing. If he's cut.
Well, if he's cut, then yeah.
Get him for nothing.
Can you feel it now?
Why would you want this him? Place would implode if Jimmy Garoppolo
Why
came
would
to
you
Seattle?
Want Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because I want to win two games this year so that the Seahawks can draft
you
like
think
a
he's,
bright
oh, you think he's worse
think
than
worse
Drew Locke?
Option
yes.
than Drew Locke? Just a competition at quarterback.
In order, who gives you the worst chance to win? Drew Locke, Colin Kaepernick, or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Can you feel it now?
Rank those three.
Worst chance to win?
Yes, worst of those three. Worst chance to win.
Number one, I would say Jimmy G.
Okay.
Number two, Colin. Number three, Drew.
Wow, you think Jimmy
really?
Garoppolo.
I hate Jimmy Garoppolo.
Who was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
Like 2 years ago,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And was in the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah.
You think he gives you a worse chance than freaking Colin Kaepernick?
Can you feel it
Jimmy
now?
Garoppolo.
What are you smoking?
Well, whatever Jimmy G
isn't. You're letting these new home fumes get to you.
Yeah, probably.
What the hell's going on over there?
He's terrible. I mean,
really?
He's a clown.
Are you serious with this guy?
Jimmy G is the dictionary definition. Of a high floor, low ceiling quarterback. Whereas right. Drew Locke's floor is lower than Jimmy G's, but his ceiling is potentially higher than Jimmy G. Jimmy G is just like he's like on a bad day he's a four, on a good day he's a six. There's like nothing great and nothing terrible about Jimmy G.
Hey, real quick.
Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, Mr. Garoppolo.
Before we get to Dave Tomlinson, the NHL color broadcaster of the hour, coming up at tonight, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 faceoff. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we're going to announce our inaugural nine of the Softy and Dick POS board. And you may think you know what POS stands for, by the way.
Air?
Well, I can.
Pit of stupidity.
Whatever you had in your brain, get it out of there. I mean, this has now become, Ian Furness has dubbed this the pit of stupidity every day from 3 to 7. So, like, the Times has the Seattle Times editorial board, New York Times has the New York Times editorial board, the Chicago Tribune, blah, 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 LA Times. So, if this is the pit of stupidity.
Pit of stupidity.
And we need the POS board. We need the pit of stupidity board. We've had a lot of applications. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we will announce the inaugural nine for the first term, which is 1 year. You'll get all kinds of perks from the Ram, Lakeland Village Golf Course up there in Allen, simplyseattle.com. But we're going to announce the inaugural nine tomorrow on the radio program. And if you did not make it on the first try, don't worry, because the term limit is only a year. We'll do it every single year, but the worry you should have is that we won't be here in a year to do it again. So this is likely the only time in history this will be done.
We'll be gone.
Because we won't be here in a year from now. Let's face it. Either one of us.
I'm
excited for this tomorrow.
Are we going to be dead or just not with this job?
I don't know. I mean,
because that's kind of morbid.
The way things are going, you never know, man. It could end tonight. Could get hit by a bus or, you know, giant asteroid could hit the Earth and it could be over. But you think we're going to be working? You think the odds of all three of us working here in a year from now are high or low? I would say low. Very low. So, you know, if you didn't make it tomorrow, then you're probably screwed.
You and I have been here a combined 50 years. What's one more?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm just looking forward to doing this. I've wanted to get the listeners involved for a long time. So anytime there's something big that happens in the sports world or really like anything, like last night, for example, at the Oscars, right? I mean, that's a perfect thing for the POS board.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
To weigh in on. Are you Team Rock or Team Smith? Who do we support here on the radio show? Right? The editorial board, the POS board would then come and they'd vote and they would tell us who we officially condone. Who do we back in the Will Smith versus Chris Rock little Donnybrook or whatever you want to call it last night? Not really a Donnybrook, but the attack by Will Smith on Chris Rock that we saw at the Oscars. I'd love to get their take on that.
Which is great for us because it absolves us from all blame. It absolves us from people texting in, tweeting us, "You're morons. How could you possibly be on Team Will Smith?" Hey, wasn't us, man.
Yeah.
This
exactly.
was the board.
Yeah, no, this is great. This will be fun. So tomorrow at 4 o'clock, if you announced or if you filled an application out tomorrow, dreams will be realized and crushed simultaneously on the radio show tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So if you didn't get a pick this time, don't worry about it. We'll do it again in a year from now, and one of us will be here, probably Jackson. He can take it from there in the next year. So that's happening tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Chuck Powell told us, by the way, today, he thinks Julio Rodriguez is going to be your opening day starter in center field. I want to talk a lot about that tomorrow on the radio show, get some baseball talk going. But joining us right now on the program, before the Kraken take on the Kings, color analyst of the week, Dave Tomlinson, is with us from Los Angeles. Dave, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing excellent, guys. I've almost got too much sun in the last couple of days, so looking forward to getting back to Seattle. How about that?
Well, you know what? Bring some of that with you, man. We need it for sure. Let's, first of all, get your thoughts. We have not spoken since the deadline. Kraken post-deadline. What do you make of the job that Ron Francis did in acquiring a bushel of draft picks in this trade deadline?
Well, I think that's the right direction to go. And for me, like, the biggest thing of the players that he traded away, Giordano and Yarncroke and Johansson and Appleton and Lauzon and Blackwell, they were all on expiring contracts. So, you know, the team that they're going to, they can play. They can always re-sign in Seattle in the summer if they see fit. And the second part of that is, you know, who knows what some of those players' futures were going to be with the Kraken. So instead, they get the draft picks. That's draft capital. You can either use them to draft players, or you can parlay some of those picks to another team for a better player, an established player. And Ron Francis, I took out of the trade deadline presser afterwards, saying that, you know, this isn't a 5-year plan to be competitive in year five. It's, they want to be competitive and way more competitive starting next season. So that's the biggest thing I took away was what they did at the trade deadline, and they have the assets to do it.
Mostly draft picks coming in, yes, but they did get a player in Daniel Sprong, and he's contributed right away with a couple of goals. Talk about what you like about his game, and what do you think his future looks like in Seattle?
Well, I think I've been impressed. I've watched him at his previous stops, and for me, like, he's always a guy that wants to get up ice with the puck. And he's very fast. That was evident in his goal last game against Los Angeles. And he's got a really good shot. Like, he's one of these kids, obviously, from the Netherlands, and then came to Canada to hone his hockey skills. So he was made a hockey player. You know, a lot of kids in Canada play hockey, and then they play baseball, and they play soccer, and then eventually they figure out the hockey thing and go from there. But he was hockey from day one. His dad used to play as well. And so you can see some of the finer skills that he's really honed. His shot is very, very good, and he's going to be used on the power play with a one-timer. And we saw his speed. And right now he's playing kind of what's considered fourth-line minutes.
Yeah.
So for him, I think he wants to get up there and play with more skilled players so he can produce more. But two goals in two games is a pretty good start to his Kraken career.
Yeah, Dave Tomlinson with us. Kraken and Kings coming up 7:00 pregame, 7:30 faceoff right here on KJR. And I noticed how after the deadline, the top five point scorers on this team, Yanni, McCann, Eberle, Wennberg, Dunn, are all still here. Was that by design, you think, by Ron Francis, or just the way things may have shook out?
More of the way things shook out. So McCann gets the 5-year contract extension. He's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Eberle is counted on as the veteran guy. He's kind of slowed up a little bit in his point production. And Wennberg, he's making a decent ticket, so I don't think other teams are going to bring him on. Mostly for me, it was that the players that removed were on those expiring contracts. And the other thing, you look at those players that stayed and are producing. Every team wants to get a guy that's producing offense at the trade deadline. So that gives you a pretty good indication that those guys are considered part of the core. I mean, for sure, Gord, for sure, McCann. And then the other guys are veterans. And so you kind of see in the summer how they fit in and where they fit in if you want to keep them with you or move them on to another team and bring back someone younger.
Do you see a bit of a leadership void without Giordano in there now?
I do. I mean, he just seemed to, on bad days, he made them not as bad. And on good days, he kept the guys grounded. And so I think this is an excellent opportunity for Yanni Gord. And with Yanni Gord, what you guys don't see is he's one of the first guys on the ice, and he's definitely one of the last guys to leave the ice on any practice day. And Giordano was like that, too. And I think Yanni Gord, with the two Stanley Cups, I mean, when he talks about what it takes to win, you can't discount that. You have to listen to what he says. And also a guy that wasn't drafted, so, fought his way up, same thing like Giordano. So, he's not the biggest guy in stature, but he outplays his size. And I think that's what you'd want from your leaders. And so if they're going to choose a captain for next season, barring anything off the wall in the summer, you would think he'd be the guy.
Well, Dave Tomlinson again with us, Kraken Kings at 7 o'clock, face-off at 7:30. I mean, it sounds like they did Mark Giordano a favor by getting him out of here. And, you know, he was on with us, what, about a week and a half ago, Dick, and we talked about the article that he wasn't even bringing his no-trade list to Ron Francis because he wanted to go play for a contender, and Francis agreed it was the best thing to do for both parties to give him a chance to go win a cup somewhere else. How much does that resonate to other players when a GM goes out of his way to take care of a veteran like that?
Oh, it absolutely does, because other teams are watching what some of the newer teams are going to do with their players. And so for Ron Francis, you look at the guys that he did trade. You know, Giordano goes back to his hometown in Toronto. Appleton goes back to a team he played with before in Winnipeg.
Yep.
Johansson goes, and that's now Johansson, goes back to Washington. So it looks like he kind of gave the preferred destination and still got something back. And so here's the other thing that's going on. Like, he's accrued all those draft picks. He's treating the players well. And let's just do a little juxtaposition now with this Las Vegas team, right? 5 years ago, they come into the league. They fleece all the other general managers. They put a competitive product. They go to the Stanley Cup final. They trade away draft picks to bring in new players. They make, you know, bigger moves and bring in more guys that'll cost them on a salary cap. And then here they're in a situation. They've already fired their first coach. They traded away a guy that they weren't allowed to trade away, so he's back. And all of a sudden, Vegas, you know, this is a year where they thought they were going to be challenging for the top of the Pacific Division. They might not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And let me add this. They're going to be in town the next two games against the Seattle Kraken. Well, imagine if the Kraken win those two games and punt Vegas out of the playoff race. Now everyone's not comparing the Seattle Kraken to the first year of Vegas. They'll say, wow, I wonder where Seattle's going to be in 3 to 5 years when Vegas has already passed their curve.
Hmm. Dave Tomlinson, Kraken color man, joining us here on KJR. Dave, I don't know how many years you spent playing out the string like the Kraken are right now. Hopefully not too many of them. But when that happens, what is the mentality like around a locker room when you know that you're not making the playoffs?
Well, the biggest fear, and it happened to me in junior, and then it happened to me once as a professional. The biggest fear is that guys get selfish. Okay? Some guys are like, okay, my stats aren't that good. I need a goal. I need an assist. I. And they start doing things just for themselves. And that's where you need the leadership, and that's where you need the coaching staff to identify those sorts of things. I think that because this path that they've been on has been pretty evident since maybe the second month of the season that they're probably not going to make the playoffs. The reality of that has already set in. So any sort of, you know, moping around is already behind them. The next phase is the coaching staff preparing the players to be spoilers. And, you know, you look at playing the same team twice in a row like they did with LA. They didn't play very well game one. You know, they just came off kind of, you know, a nice win in Arizona, a couple of off days in Huntington Beach. So repay that with some effort. And it wasn't there to start the game. It was near the end. So now they can come back this evening and, you know, snatch a win. And then, like I said, you get them all pumped up to take two from Vegas. And then you start making sure that your team is ready to play every night to be the spoiler and make something of the season.
Yeah, well, Dave Tomlinson's with us again. Kings and Kraken coming up 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 face-off with Everett, Dave, and Mikey right here on KJR. And Michigan is going back to the Frozen Four starting in Boston on the 7th of April. I guess the Wolverines have what? Not just Matty Beniers, who is hopefully the next great Kraken star, but like what? Four of the top five picks from last year in the NHL draft. You've been watching Matty Beniers play. When you look at his game, how close is he to being able to not just compete, but also maybe have success at this level?
I have been watching him, and he's impressive. I really like two-way centermen, you know, guys that can bring the offense, but also are responsible defensively. And so that's a great area and a great mindset to have when you're going to the next level. And I saw him play him at the World Hockey Championship with men. I saw him at the start of the World Juniors, this past World Juniors before it got canceled. And amongst his peers, he is elite with his age group. When he starts playing against men, you know, he figures it out. And that's the thing for me with him. When he plays, you know, he'll come to Seattle at the end of his season, whether it's after the 7th or after the 9th. if they go to the national championship. So he'll get a handful of games here in Seattle, and he's not going to blow you away with high-end this, and this. But from the hockey purist standpoint, you're going to see a lot of the things that he will do as a rookie that you think would come later as a guy who's played 50 games in the league and you know, starts to understand the responsibilities of a two-way centerman. So, you know, he's not going to blow you away with points at the NHL level right off the bat, but, you know, he'll be one of those guys where the coach will be like, boy, we just told him to be in that position and he's already got it. We can move on and worry about something else. So that, for me, is his ability to adapt to wherever he is.
Well, Dave, the biggest bugaboo, obviously, this year has been scoring goals, but only twice in the last seven games, the Kraken have scored less than three. So they're ticking upward offensively. What are some of the reasons behind that?
Well, I think finally they've kept the lines together, and there's been some chemistry. Of course, you know, post-trade deadline, Yanni Gord's line mates were both shipped out. But that, for me, is, you know, the game moves so fast. If you've got to think about what to do, it's probably too late. And so you just need to react. And then part of that for me is that the Kraken are feeling a little bit better with the groups that they're playing with. And they're shooting the puck more, which is one of the things that kind of gets me when I'm watching them play. Like, I'm not that fan in the crowd that's yelling, shoot, yeah. But it's going through my head when I see them come up ice. And so if you want to score goals in this league, you want to shoot, and you want to have people at the front of the net to capitalize on the rebounds. And if you look at some of the goals they've scored, it's been just that.
What's a Sunday night on an off night in L.A. like with your boy Fitzy?
Well, Fitzy's got a relative who lives in L.A., is an aspiring actress, and so he went his own way. Mm. And then I met up with the executive director of the Mighty Ducks TV series, who I was working with last year.
Wow.
So, you know, we kind of went L.A. We went Hollywood L.A.
There you go. Geez, you're a big shooter. Everett's hanging out with his family, and you're rubbing elbows with big-time super-studded stars out there in L.A., man. So, hey, I like your angle even better. Well, listen, have fun tonight. Hopefully the guys get a win. I know a lot of people are talking about Tankathon 2022, you know, sucking for Shane, but that's got to be almost like taboo talk inside that locker room, huh?
It is, because that guy's going to take someone's job when he gets here.
Right.
So, I mean, players don't tank because when you're doing poorly, you get shipped out. So you wait to see how the lottery shakes down for where you end up picking. And if you're going number one or number two, you're obviously getting a high-quality player there. Cracking up, you know that with Matty Beniers.
No doubt. Hey, Dave, listen, enjoyed the game tonight. We'll see you when you get back home, buddy. Appreciate this, pal.
Thanks, man.
I can't believe you guys haven't congratulated me on Canada going to the World Cup of Soccer.
I'm sorry,
Come on.
Your phone's breaking up. We can't hear you. What was that? What?
Come on.
I think we lost Dave. All right, that's it. We're out of here. We'll get a break. Kraken and LA Kings again. Face off 7:30. Pregame 7 o'clock coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on Sports Radio KJR 93.3 FM.